Welcome in, time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Welcome in, time for a daily editorial. I'm just about wrapping up the month of August here. Today is the 31st, going on over into September. Summer is over, boys and girls. It certainly is over out here. Colder than the dickens this morning when I got up. Jimmy alerted me, and I'm very grateful for that, off mic, some of the economic indicators that came out on Zero Hedge this morning. We're going to talk about them right now because the indicators are looking actually very bad at this moment in time. Going to ask Jim to summarize them. Inflation looks bad. Money supply looks bad, et cetera, et cetera. Jimmy, you're on.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad news out there economically, but chalk it up to Bidenomics, right? He's going to save us. Core inflation is up 4.2%. It was expected to be higher, and it's higher than the 4.1% of June. This is from July numbers. The consumer price index is up 3.3%. That's up again over June as well. There's a bunch of bad news with inflation continuing to go up, but there's also spending is up. The amount
of, I thought spending was down.
Spending is up.
Okay.
But income is down.
So right.
Personal
okay.
income is down. So people are spending more money. They're spending their savings down because savings is down 3.5%. And credit card debt is maxed out for the highest it's been in a decade. So you're seeing a lot of indicators. Disposable income is down, obviously because of the inflation rates. I mentioned the savings plunged 3.5%. And of course, some of these other big indicators with the money supply is the lowest it's been since the Great Depression.
Whoa.
Since 1933. M2 growth money, M2 is the lowest growth since 1933. Now, maybe there's a little bit of good with that, because if the more money you print, obviously that creates higher inflation. But this is definitely going to have a significant impact on the overall money supply. And when you start seeing auto loans, credit cards, consumer loans super high, and people are not able to pay them because of inflation, and we're beginning to see some job losses as
yeah.
well.
Well, so, it's really pretty sad what credit card can do. I mean, I've come to the conclusion I paid off all of my credit card debt. And the reason I did that is because I would put that type of lending on the part of the credit card companies in the very definite category of predatory lending. It is really bad for the individual, bad for the economy. And I would recommend that people stay away from it. I'm looking at the chart, Jimmy, dated Thursday, August 31st. Today came out at 5:41 in the morning. It's on Zero Hedge. Right now, the numbers are looking just about as bad, and they're headed in a direction that are as bad as they have been probably in a long, long time. Why doesn't the government do something about this, Jim?
Well, they are doing something. They're actually making it worse because they're cutting off U.S. energy, because they're pushing these Green New Deals. They've
right.
pumped the economy. The only money and growth that we've got right now is basically from government spending, which, mm-hmm. again, is increasing inflation.
Right.
And that's really being payoffs to us. Supportive constituents of the Democratic Party. They're not benefiting growth, industry. The job numbers that the Biden administration claim are basically a rebound from the shutdowns of COVID. And basically beyond that, it's basically all lies. So Yeah, there's not much more that damage they can do at this point.
Why are they trying to do this, Jim?
Well, they're trying to move the U.S. economy into a green economy. They're trying to achieve political power through paying off union leadership, not union workers, but union leadership. And they're trying to float this in some sort of a way with modern monetary theory, MMT, that you will be able to eventually just pay taxes to pay down these debts. But, of course, we've talked about the shortfall in revenues right now. It looks like it's about over $400 billion for this fiscal year, which is going to put us at about $2 trillion deficit, which adds to the overall debt. We're going to be, you know, $34 trillion in debt above our GDP. These are all just bad policy decisions based on political objectives, not based on how we help the American economy, the American consumer. Yeah. Interesting part about it is they're still trying to, you know, I mean, the White House is trying to spin these things, right? But there's only so much spinning you can do before it actually impacts, you know, families and customers and small businesses and even corporate businesses. And as we go into this next, into the fall and winter quarters, the potential here is for a direct, if not already, a slowdown, a recession, which does not look good for, quote, Bidenomics and Democratic's reelection prospects. So they've got to have a lot of confidence that they're going to reshape the economy right now. But I think it actually has a lot to do, Al, with just flat out incompetent people that are managing the government right now.
Jim, let me ask you a question, a little bit off the subject of economics, but I'm flipping through the charts right now and that were provided by Zero Hedge, which I consider to be a very credible website. A picture of Mitch McConnell popped up. He froze up again. Jim, are you concerned about that for him as a human being and also for the leadership? Of course, for the leadership of the Republican Party, we have to be concerned about that. But give me your thoughts, Jim.
So, of course, as a human being, I wish no one ill will. But the reality is now that's twice that he's – this time was for about 20 seconds. It was a very, very embarrassing moment, complete lockup. And I did research what the rules are in Kentucky to replace a senator. And it appears that the legislator, in the past, prior to 2021, the governor just appointed – whoever they wanted. And of course, that's Beshear. Beshear's a Democrat right now. So the question would be, hey, would he appoint somebody that would be inconsistent with what the voters want, since both their senators are Republicans,
right?
Both McConnell and
Got
Rand
an opinion,
Paul.
Jimmy?
But let me tell you this. They changed the rule in 2021 to where the party that had – that actually has the responsibility, who actually the senator would belong to or the representative would belong to, gets to nominate three people. Those three people go up to the governor to make a selection from.
Right.
So it looks like, and I think it would be to the betterment of the Republican Party if Mitch McConnell did step down. He has way too much power. He is a never-Trumper. He is cutting deals with the Democrats that destroy the future of the country because of, I think, rhino policies, because he understands how things work.
Yeah.
I think he's as corrupt as anybody else in Washington, and I think they need new blood there. So I think Rand Paul is a very, very strong senator and a good voice for conservative values and basically libertarian ideas. I think they need someone else there. And, of course, Andy Beshear is facing a re-election campaign in 2024 against the black attorney general, who I think has a very good chance to overcome, to actually take Daniel Cameron is his name, to take the governorship away from Andy Beshear and the Democrats. I think there's a good shot at that. And that would actually be an important victory for conservatism in in a state that has a lot of influence and power.
Yeah, unfortunately, again, we're going to have to wait quite a while for that to actually happen. Yeah, Kentucky has a lot of influence now, given the position of Rand Paul, who I got a lot of time for, as I had a
and
lot of...
And, of course, for Mitch McConnell as the, you know, Senate leader, but...
Yeah.
And now, who fills in for him if he... I think he's going to have to retire or resign. I think he's just... And I think that would be a good statement to push Joe Biden out because of the same types of issues, basically age and inability.
Well, Jim, the first thing that you said today that I'm getting excited about is that I happen to agree wholeheartedly that Mitch McConnell is in about the same shape that Joe Biden is in. The only difference is Biden, he has frozen up, but not quite as dramatically as Mitch McConnell has.
No, a couple weeks ago we talked about how many of the people, I mean, there's like 18, 19 people over 80 years old in our government right now. Dianne Feinstein is a basket case. She should not be there.
Dianne Feinstein? Yes, she is.
She needs to be out. There's so many of them that need to move out. We need younger people. Yeah. So
I feel terribly sorry for Dianne Feinstein. And I don't agree with her politics, but so what? As a human being, I feel terribly sorry for her. I think she is detrimental, obviously, to the Democratic Party in California. But as a human being, I feel very sorry for her. I think she's done quite a bit, as much as she possibly could, to improve the United States. Unfortunately, you and I don't really agree at all with her policies, but she worked like hell to get there.
Yeah, but the problem, here's the problem.
Big problem.
When somebody continues to hang on and they don't have the integrity, and I think it is actually integrity, to step down. They want to maintain power. And it has to do a lot with incumbency and the influences from the party.
Right.
To me, I don't have much respect for that. She should have stepped down a long time ago.
Okay.
And
well, I think anybody who is somewhat on the incompetent side really should step down, because it's pretty obvious. It's pretty simple to determine what your level of competency is, and in respect for the country, the future of our country, many, many, many of our politicians should go in that direction. Take some cognizant tests. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, if Biden was really a good human being, he would do it.
Yeah, no, he's again, these people are power hungry. And that to me shows a low level of integrity. So
I agree 100% with you, Jim. Unfortunately, the problem that I'm seeing right now, and to a very large extent, it's keeping me awake at night, is that I don't like where the country is going at all. I'm very, very frightened as to where the country is going. I've been following politics for a long, long time, and I don't like what I am seeing at all.
Yeah, I mean, this manipulation of the justice system, the fact that Obama and Biden will have put in place, by the time Biden leaves office, almost two-thirds of the federal judges in the country, and these judges are not going by the law, they're going by politics.
Right.
And that's the sad thing. And of course, you've got on top of that, Alan, I know we probably don't want to go on a lot longer here, but there's a very good article on the American Conservative called America Overrun, America Transformed. And it talks about Todd Bentsman. He was a Texas, he wrote a book. The book basically outlines it's called Overrun, How Joe Biden Unleashed the Greatest Border Crisis in U.S. History.
Well, there's no point. I mean, any idiot can see that, Jimmy.
And here's what, let's talk about those numbers. So the media response when Trump took office was there was like 11, 12, maybe 15 million illegal immigrants in the United States.
Right.
The conservatives and people that actually, you know, did research on it looked at somewhere between 15 and 20 million illegal right. immigrants in the United States. What Biden has unleashed so far is already 7 million plus illegal right. immigrants in just 2.5 years
yeah.
on track for 10 million illegal immigrants into the United States. These people, that would make up a population of about 10% of the overall U.S. demographics, nearly 10% of the United States population. Of illegal immigrants. Mm-hmm. And you think that we can financially support the people that are on welfare, that are going into education systems, that are doing underground economies, that are working for cash, that are basically either burdens on the state.
Of course we cannot, Jim.
Yeah. And so, you know, when you talk about economic impact, this is unbelievable. But when you talk about that number of people in some of these states, that changes the number of ballots that will be printed. Whether or not they can legally vote is irrelevant.
Right.
The numbers that the Democrats in California, in Washington, in Oregon, and in other some of these other states, the number of ballots that they print up is based on the population. And then that's why you get this massive vote harvesting. And that is what the Democrats want. They want dependence on the government. They want more illegal immigrants.
Right.
That's in conjunction with Rhino Republicans that and the people like the Chamber of Commerce that want additional labor, cheap labor in the United States. So big corporations, they're buying into this whole process. Uh-huh. While the American citizen, the middle class, working class Americans, the lower class working Americans are getting crushed by the overhead costs of this right. illegal immigration effort.
Right. Jimmy, I want to make one announcement too. I haven't talked to you about this yet, but I know you're not going to have a problem with it. Jimmy has some very specific ideas based on his personal experience over the years. Anybody who has any questions whatsoever, specific questions for Jim, please state the question in the blog. And we will put them head and shoulders right in front of Jimmy. And I guarantee, as long as I have known this fellow, he will answer every single question that you might have to the best of his ability, as will I. But I would really like to see some questions.
I want to make it clear
yeah.
that if they're reasonable questions, they're not attacking questions, and it's actually something that's, you know, that we can have a dialogue with, that's fine. If it's arguing for arguing's sake, I don't buy that. I don't play that game.
Okay. And I think that just makes common sense. Okay, you guys, like Jim just said, questions that are not necessarily argumentative, simply based on emotions, etc., etc., please place them in front of either Jim or myself. Love to see that happen. Jimmy, let's wrap her up. We've only been going about 18 minutes, but I would like to wrap it up. Do you have anything else you want to bring up?
I think that's plenty of time this morning. I think the only thing I want to finish it up with is Trump avoided the arraignment for Fannie Willis's fraud trial, fraudulent effort to attack him. And I think that case, again, eventually will not even make it very far because there's just so many weaknesses in the case. It's speculation on an unbelievable level and a political level. Whether or not it gets through the court in Georgia is irrelevant when it comes to the appeals courts and, of course, when it gets to federal court.
So for anything, we will be devoting probably an entire segment of the weekend show, which we're going to record partially today and certainly have it wrapped up by tomorrow, Friday. Is that okay with you, Jim? Shouldn't be a problem.
Yep.
Event. All right, no problem, you guys. Listen, let's see some action in terms of what you guys think. Let's see some reasonable questions to Jim and myself. Would love to see that happen. Thanks very much for listening, everybody. Certainly appreciate it. Jimmy, thank you.
You bet, Al.
find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics. We will be back in a moment.